And we're holding on Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, fourth line, third line. The Simen Chorash Chovash Zman, which is a simen for the names of Amoroyim who are going to be pointing out now. Chorash, for example, Rav Acha, Breda Rava, Rav Ashi, and so forth, the other ones. The Gemara, of course, does that kind of thing all over the place, gives simonim. There is actually an interesting thing. There's a sefer called Lamnatzeach LeDavid by Rav David Powder, one of the great Sfardische Achronim, you know, the Rav in various places in Turkey and Sarajevo, and I forget where else. Anyway, he has an appendix to a sefer of his called Lamnatzeach LeDavid, where he discusses the deeper meaning behind these simonim. So he says this one, his girsa actually of the second word is chosam, is mat chorash chosam zman. Anyway, he says it means the wise man concealed the time, and it refers to the time of when Mashiach is going to come. That the Gemara is hinting at that over here in connection with this matter of geula, which is what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about the question of whether an Eved Ivri can buy his freedom by halves. Can he? We know that he can buy his freedom. We talked about the other day, Girin Kesef, that we figure out how many years are there left for him to work, and he pays the appropriate amount. Can he pay half of that, and then that'll shorten his term by X number of years? And then the related question, can you do that by Bote Orei Choma, when you sell a house in a walled city where the Torah tells us you have 1 year to buy it back, and if not, then you lose it forever. You don't even get it back in Yovel. By the same token, could you buy it back L'chatzoyin? Could you buy it back by halves? So we said, as far as the Eved Ivri, Rav Sheshes had said that no, you can't, based on a pasuk. Abaye actually said, if you want to say that yes, then it could come out a kula and a chumra. The Rambam ends up paskening that when he's sold to a yid, he can't do that, but when he's sold to a goy, he could. But the continuation of the Gemara over here is going to be on the assumption that he can't. So we'd have to say that that's referring, according to the Rambam, when he's sold to a yid. And as far as the house, we said, on the other hand, Rav Sheshes said that based on Rav Shimon's opinion, you could. Because since the Torah makes things harder for him in that he only has a year to buy it back, therefore, therefore to balance things out, the Torah wants to make things easier for him by allowing him to borrow money for the purpose or to redeem only half of it. And that way, at least he doesn't lose the entire house come once the year is up. So in that connection, We mentioned a kavu chomer. We mentioned, why does the pasuk need to tell us this? You would have thought, on the one hand, you could say Rav Shimon's point that since a house in a walled city, you have only 1 year to buy it back. Therefore, the Torah wants to make it easier for you to do it during that 1 year, as compared to Sde Achuza, a field that you inherited from your ancestors. We're there. If you don't buy it back, then you'll get it back in Yovel. So therefore, the Torah is more stringent on you and saying, well, you need to have your own money and you need to buy the whole thing. Because after all, fine, you'll be able to get it back in Yovel anyway. In this connection, though, we mentioned a possible kavah chomer. We would have thought on the contrary, because a moicher sdei achuza, when he sells this ancestral property, and still he has the weaker part that he can't, he has to have, it has to be his own money, not money that he borrowed, and he can't do half of it. How much more so, we should say, actually, by a different case where he's makdish such a field to hekdish, where there, we should say, the fact is, if he doesn't buy it back by Yovel, he's not ever getting it back. It's going to the Kohenim. Maybe on the contrary, maybe things should be harsher on him. Maybe there should be a kavah chomer that things should be harsher on him, and he can't be loiv of a goy of a goy l'chatzoyin, and therefore we had a pasuk that says that not. So now, omelet of acha brei de rova, l'rav ashi ikal mifrach. Now, with all of what we just said, you have this kavah chomer, but you could conceivably shlug it up. You're saying, again, the kavah chomer goes that you say you're making a kavah chomer between selling a house in a walled city where you're not gonna ever get it back versus when you makdish a field when you makdish a field to hekdish, where you have until you're able to buy it back, But if not, then you're not getting it back. So both of them, you're not getting back in Yovel. But the difference is that one of them you have only a year, and the other one you have two Yovel. So the Amalei of Achabre, the Rav of Rashi, and Chafal of Amar Aleph, Ikal Mifrach. So now you can slog up that Kavachomer. Malam Moicha Bais Bote Arechomer, Shken Hura Koichili Go Loilam. Precisely because he has the weaker, he has the weaker possibility. He can't redeem it forever. He only has 1 year to redeem it. So therefore, you should say maybe because of that. Maybe because of that, you would say that because of that, you would say that when it comes to Bote Arechoma, maybe also you can't borrow money to redeem it. It has to be your own money. How do you compare that to when he's makdish a field where at least he does have until Yovel? If the Gizbar sells it to somebody else in between, then no. But if the Gizbar hasn't sold it, then he has until Yovel to buy it back. So that would break down the Kavachomer. So in other words, again, the Kavachomer was that we were trying to say that we would think based on that Kavachomer that maybe in fact you shouldn't be able to be loiv of a goyel, or you shouldn't be able to be goyel l'chatzoyin to buy half of it back. And the answer is the pasuk tells us otherwise. But Rav Acha Bnei D'Rava is saying, how would the kavachomer work anyway? You could shlug up that kavachomer. Omer Rav Acha Sava l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha Sava responds and says to Rav Ashi, Mishum de'ikol meimah neheder dina teisu b'mahatzad. The reason is you're arguing you can shlug up the kavachomer, but instead you have a mahatzad. There are three different cases that we're dealing with in the Gemara over here. We have a case where a person sells a house in a walled city where he has 1 year to buy it back, and if he doesn't, then he loses it forever. You have the case of where he sells a Sdei Achoza to somebody else, where there he can't buy it back during the first 2 years, but afterwards he can buy it back anytime he wants, and if he doesn't buy it back by Yovel, he gets it back. And then we have Makdish Sdei Achoza, which is where he's Makdish, where he donates the Sdei Achoza to Hekdish, where he can buy it back anytime, but if he doesn't buy it back from Yovel or in between, it was sold to somebody else, then he's never getting it back. So now we can make a Mahatzad, we can make a Tzad HaShoga between these things. You would argue, if you want to try to prove again, we're trying to prove what would happen when you makdish a Sdei Achoza, when you're able to, whether you're able to borrow money to redeem it, or whether it davka has to be your own money, or whether you can buy half of it back from Hekdish. So you could make a Tzad HaShoga and figure like this. Start by proving from the case where he sells the Sdei Achoza, he has a strong power in that he can always redeem it. There's no deadline by which he has to redeem it. And we say, on the other hand, there's a stringency on him. We don't allow him to borrow money in order to buy it back. We don't allow him to buy it back by halves. It's an all or nothing thing, and it has to be his own money. If he comes with borrowed money, or he comes with only half of it, the other guy can say, I'm not obligated to sell it back to you. So you would try to prove from that to the case where he's makdish the field, but you would say on the other hand, you could argue that when he sells the Sdei Achoza, he has a weaker power because he can't buy it back right away. The Torah tells us he has to wait a minimum of 2 years before he can buy it back. Well, then you would say then try to prove from the case where somebody sells a house in a walled city where he is able to buy it back right away. There's no 2 year waiting period. And if you're going to say, on the other hand, when he sells a house in Bote Arechoma, he only has 1 year to buy it back, then you would say, on the other hand, consider where he sells a Sdei Achoza, where he could buy it back indefinitely. So therefore, v'chazer adin, so you would go back and forth, loy re'izeh kirizeh, each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have. Hatzada shava shemahen, what do they both have in common? Shenig olin, that they can both be redeemed, the ein loiv of a goy of a goy l'chatzayin, but in both cases, whether you sell a Sdei Achoza and whether you're selling a house in a walled city, we would say that you can't borrow money to redeem it, and you can't redeem it by halves. Afani Ovi Makdish, then based on that, you would have thought to bring in also to learn from that Sadashava to the case where he's Makdish a field, same thing, Shenigal, it can be redeemed, but in love of a girl of a girl. So therefore, so we would have learned that. We would have learned that. And therefore we need a posik. And that tells us that it's not so. By Makdish is different, since it says in Goyal Yigal, then we said that he could be loiv of a Goyal, and he could be Goyal Lachatzoyin. So not because of a Kavachoymer per se, but more because, not because of a Kavachoymer from a single one of these, between these three things, but rather a Tzad HaShava between two of them. However, Omalei Rav Zutra, Breder, Amori, Ravina, Ikal Mifrach, you still could slog up the Kavachoymer. Both of them do have this in common. You can't redeem them in the second year after you sold them. A house in Bati Arichoyma, you have only 1 year and then it's gone. A Sde Achuza, you have to wait 2 years before you can buy it back. So yes, it's true. One of them has a deadline, the other one doesn't. And one of them goes back to you in Yovel and the other one doesn't. On the other hand, when it comes to the second year, they do have that in common, that you can't buy it back in the second year, regardless. So how could you apply that to a Makdish where he could buy it back in the second year? So you could argue, in other words, that so to begin with, you don't have a basis for saying that that you shouldn't be able to be loiv of a goyel or goyel l'chatzoyin to borrow money or to buy or to do it by halves for the Sde Achuza. For when you makdish a Sde Achuza. So we're back to the question, why did the Braisa previously need to bring a posuk that you could do that when logic would tell you that you could do? If you try to make a kavachomer from any of the two things, from any of the other two things that we said, selling a house in Bote Orechomer or selling your Sde Achuza, then you'll say they have this in common, that you can't buy them in the second year. So maybe that's why the Torah is machmer on you. How would that apply to a makdish where you don't have that factor? So Omale Ravina. So Ravina answers, Mishum de Iklamema Evid Ivri Animkolo Evid Kechovim Yechiach. Because if you tried to do that, you would also say, on the other hand, prove from the case of an Evid Ivri who's sold to a goy. She Yofa Koichel Igor B'Shana Shnia, he also has a strong power as far as that second year. He can buy his freedom from the goy anytime. There's no limit on when when he's able to buy his freedom. And yet Rav Sheshes was telling us before that he can't be loiv of a goyel, he can't, because the posuk says umotze yodoy. Or siga yodoy actually is the question, is the point, which means that he earns the money, so that he earns it, he doesn't borrow it, and ain goyel l'chatzoyim, and he can't be goyel l'chatzoyim. That Rav Sheshes had said before on Chof HaMabez, he had learned from the word v'nigal, which implies that completely he has to be redeemed, not only by halves. So now taking all of that together, therefore, you would have said that the same thing. So now you have three things that you can make a Tzad HaShava between: selling a Sde Achuza, selling a house in a walled city, an Eved Ivri sold to a goy. All of them, you have the rule that ain goy over ain loiv of a goyel and ain goyel l'chatzoyin. So you would have thought the same thing is true when you makdish your field, and therefore the Torah specifically has to tell you not so. Because that's an exception, because the Torah says being goel yigal, the double expression means that the Torah is giving you an extra break, and saying that when you makdish your field, that you are able to borrow the money to redeem it from hekdish, so that it doesn't end up going to the kohenim, and you are able to buy half of it back at a time. Tosfos also points out, on the other hand, that now the question is, by the Sde Achuza, the Torah uses the expression umotze kadei geulasei, which means that he needs the entire amount for his geula, and there we said ain a geula chatzoyin, based on what we're saying over here, why don't we make a kavachomer from an Eved Ivri? And Tosfos points out that after all, a Makdish does have a weaker power in one way, in the sense that he never gets back his field and it gets divided among the Kohenim by Yovel. So therefore, so again, if you tried to make a Kavachomer like that, you could have an opposing Kavachomer, and therefore now you need ultimately, therefore you need by the Makdish or by the Mocher, where he sells the Sdei Achuzah, you need a Pasuk to tell you that that it must be a Motzah Kedei Golasi. He actually finds the money, he actually earns or finds whatever the money that he's going to buy it back with, rather than borrowing it. Another point over here actually is that the Rosh makes a point that it's not just when we're saying that you could prove from an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Goy, you could make the same proof from an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Yid, but the Gemara wants as much as possible to try to make a limud from one thing involving karka to another thing involving karka. Now, according to the Rambam, that there's a difference in this regard between a Yid and a Goy, between whether he's sold to a Yid or to a Goy, where when he's sold to a Yid, you can only buy him back you have to buy him back the whole thing. He can't buy his freedom piecemeal, but when it comes to a Goy, he could. Then, according to him, you would have to necessarily say that in the end, really, the valid proof would be from an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Yid, where he can buy back his freedom anytime during the 6 years, but he still can't be a loiv of a goy, lachatzar. Okay. Anyway, that answers the question. So the answer would be that yes, with an Eved Ivri. So with an Eved Ivri, Rav Sheshes is saying that he can't be loiv of a goy and he can't be goy lachatzayin. Goy lachatzayin means to redeem half of himself at a time. So say for example, an Eved Ivri is sold for 6 years to a Yid. So it would mean, in other words, let's say 2 years have passed. There's 4 years to go, and at this point, let's say to begin with, he was sold for $6,000. So it's $1,000 per year. So now he's got $4,000 to go. Can he go over to his Odin and say, I don't have $4,000, but I do have $2,000. So let me give you $2,000 and I'll shave 2 years off my time. So I'll go free 2 years from now rather than four. So Rav Sheshes is saying that doesn't work. Now on the face
of it,
on the face of it, Rav Sheshes is talking about whether he was sold to a Goy or whether he was sold to a Yid. The Rambam learns all Gemara to be saying that with a Goy he could do that, with a Yid he can't.
Okay.
And then that led us into the discussion about related cases like that, about when a person sells his Sdei Achuzah, the field that he inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, or where he's Makdish it, or where he sells it, or where he sells a house in a walled city, walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So there we said, in the end, we said as far as the house in the walled city, we said it's machloikas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim whether he can do that. And as far as the selling the Sdei Achuzah, he can't do that. There, the pasuk makes it very clear that he can't. And by Makdish, in the end, we said we would have thought that he couldn't either. And we have a pasuk that tells us that he could. So in short, by Eved Ivri, by Eved Ivri, Rav Sheshes is telling us it doesn't work. Although according to the Rambam, it does work when he's sold to a Goy. When he sells a Sdei Achuzah, he can't do either of these things. When he's Makdish a Sdei Achuzah, he could do either of these things. And when it's a house in a walled city, it's a Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether he could or not. Okay. Now, continues the Gemara. Bominir of Huna Bachinin and Rav Sheshes. Here's another question. Before we started that discussion with Rav Huna Bachinin asking Rav Sheshes, and now he's going to ask him another similar question. A person sells a house in a walled city. Can it be bought back by relatives or not? Meaning, if the original seller comes to the buyer and says, I want my house back, here's the money, during the year, the buyer has to give him back the house and take the money, whether he likes it or not. That's what the pasuk says. He has 1 year to buy it back. The question is, if he himself is not coming, if a relative of his is coming to do that, do we have the same thing where the relative can say, you have to sell me back this house? Or can the buyer say, no, only you're not the one who sold it to me. It's none of your business. So the question is, ge'ulasei ge'ulasei misdei achuzah gomar, do we make a gzeira shava on the word ge'ulasei from the selling misdei achuzah? You have the word ge'ulase by both of them, and therefore you'd learn mas sdei achuzah in and nigelas lachatzayin v'nigelas lekrevim. So a sdei achuzah, we said, can't be bought back by halves, but on the other hand, it could be bought by the relatives, because the pasuk says that the pasuk says that the relatives should. The end of Sefer Rus tells an actual example of that. So af hai nami. So you would argue the same thing with the house in the walled city. You also can't buy it back by halves, according to the Chachamim we said before against Reb Shimon. But nigal lekrovim. The nigal lekrovim, but we would also learn from that gzeira shava. So the Chachamim, in other words, hold there's gzeira shava between them, and they say that's why you can't buy it back by halves, because they learn a gzeira shava from selling a sdeh achuzah to selling a house in a walled city. So now, if we use that gzeira shava, then that would mean that the relatives could buy it, because just like the relatives can buy a sdeh achuzah, it says so clearly in the pasuk, so they could buy back the house. Maybe not. Maybe the word geula in the pasuk is only referring to the fact that you can't buy it back by halves. When it says, so that means he earns the money and he finds enough for his geula. So therefore, kadei geulasa, we said, means the entire geula, meaning not only half of it. So maybe therefore we would learn from that itself, from that context of the word goulasa itself, that by the house. So we're saying it means kedei goulasa, but maybe in other words we would say that is only talking about that din. Maybe the gzeira shava is not meant to teach us about the din of the relatives. So omale ainin nigal. So Rav Sheshes answers it can't be redeemed by the relatives. If the relatives come and say we want to buy back the house, the guy who bought it has every right to say no. So Eistve, sort of Huna Bachina, asks him, what about a Braisa says, over chol geula titnu la'aretz? The pasuk actually says, and bechol geula titnu, the Braisa is taking out words from the pasuk. The whole pasuk says, over chol eretz achuzaschem geula titnu la'aretz. Throughout all the land of your inheritance, you should give a geula for the land. So, but here the point is the word bechol means to add something, and it says geula titnu. You should grant a geula. So, what does that mean? What is the bechol adding? Larabis batim ve'eved ivri. It comes to include houses, and it comes to include an eved ivri that they can be bought back by the relatives. So, my lav bote orechoima. Shouldn't we assume that by houses we mean bote orechoima? So that would mean the relatives could come and buy it back, and the buyer has to sell it back to them. And the answer is not necessarily bote chatzerim. You could say there's another category that we haven't really dealt with yet, which is houses that are not in a walled city. Houses not in a walled city, there the rule is you can buy them back anytime you want. You have until Yovel, and if not, then you get them back in Yovel, unlike houses in a walled city. Meaning, in other words, the Gemara in Erchin summarizes it. It means that houses outside of a walled city have the advantages of a house and of a field. You can buy them back right away, unlike the field where you'd have to wait 2 years, but you get them back in Yovel, unlike the house in the walled city. Anyway, the point is that the word bechol, when it includes houses, so it could mean, Rav Sheshes says, it means bote chatzerim. You don't need a pasuk for that. The Torah clearly says they're considered like the fields, and just like a field, we know the pasuk tells us the relatives can buy it back. So it should be also by the bote achatzeirim. Why would you need the word bechol to include that if it's pretty clear? And the answer is ahula kovei chova. The answer is that word bechol is coming to establish it as an absolute obligation on the relatives. In other words, you shouldn't just think the relatives could do it if they want to. It means they have to do it if they have the money. And that would be the way Rabbi Eliezer understands the pasuk. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk says, the pasuk describes a person is poor and he sells some of his field, and his relative comes for go'al as mimkar achiv, and he redeems what his brother or relative sold. So that would mean reshus. That would mean, so far, that would only mean he could do that. After omer reshus, now you're saying that it means it's only optional for him. Maybe it's an absolute obligation. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk continues. In the next pasuk, v'ish ki lo yia loy goyel. If a man does not have a goyel. Now, what does that mean? V'chi yesh onem b'yisrael she'en le goyelim.
Is there any person among the Jewish people who doesn't have goyalim? Now, the only goyal means a relative, and we know you have, for example, a relative can mean a close relative, it can be a further away one. But every born yid and the born Jews, after all, are the ones who get a share in Eretz Yisrael, which they inherit from their ancestors. Every born yid has goyalim because he has. If he doesn't have children of his own, he has a father. He has brothers. If his father and his brother, you know, you could go back to his grandfather, his great grandfather, etc. You go just like with Yerusha, you go throughout the generations. You may wind up that the closest relative to him, and you know, is a third cousin five times removed. But whatever the case, it's still a goyel. So every yid has a goyel. Which, by the way, I mean the Shittel Einodel Ami, one of the Perushim here on Masechet Kedushin, points out. You could construct a complicated scenario involving a ger, where let's say you have a ger, marries a ger, doesn't have relatives until he has children, because he's not related in halacha to his birth family, but you can have, let's say he marries a woman who inherited property, and then she dies, and he yarshins her, and therefore he has property of his own in Eretz Yisrael. But he says, you know, come on, you're going to assume the pasuk is talking about a rare case like that. So what does it mean that ein loy goyel zeshi yesh loy ve'ein loy tzelikach? Means he has a relative, but that relative doesn't want to buy it back. So Rabbi Yeshua says the pasuk is implying that he has the ability to do that. He has the ability to refuse to buy back that property. So therefore, in other words, he would say, the Tosfos Reed explains, what would he do with the word b'chol? He would say it means if the relative does want to buy it back, then the buyer can't say, sorry, I have no business with you. He has to say, look, I understand you're his relative, therefore I'm obligated to sell it back to you, but not that the relative himself is required to do that. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, no, regardless, Mimka Achiv Choiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it means it establishes it as an obligation on the relative. And he goes through the same argument. Maybe not. Maybe it means optional, like you, Rabbi Yeshua, are saying. Therefore, the pasuk says, in all, geula titnu, you should make a geula, you should provide a geula, meaning a kosev kavei choiva. The pasuk is stressing it as the pasuk is making it an obligation. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the word b'chol is making it an obligation on the relative to go and buy it back. So according to him, you have like this. When it comes to Bate Hatzedim, when it comes to a house in an unwalled city, we know the Torah tells us it's considered like a field, and that would mean that a relative could buy it back. So now the word Bechol tells us not just that the relative could, but that he has to buy it back if he has the money. So that would be what you need the word b'chol for, but not necessarily that's including houses in walled cities. Maybe a house in a walled city is different, Rav Sheshis is saying, and there the relative does not have the ability to buy it back. So the Chachamim said to Rav Ashi, v'amila Ravina l'Rav Ashi, others say specifically Ravina asked Rav Ashi, b'shleim l'ma. Now, let's talk about these opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying the relatives are obligated to buy it back if they can, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying they had the field or the house in the unwalled city, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, they could if they want to, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, they have to. Well, I understand, according to the opinion, that we're including Bote Orechoima, if you argue, not like Rav Sheshis, that the word Bechol comes to include Bote Orechoima, Bechol. Well, that would explain why the Torah uses the word Bechol in all. But if you're telling me, like Rabbi Eliezer, and by the way, the Gemara hasn't specified who it is who holds that way. All we're saying is Rav Sheshis had said it's not like that. The Ramban, I think it is, understands that Rabbi Yeshua would understand the pasuk that way. Given that Rabbi Yeshua, on the face of it, doesn't need a whole word b'chol just to teach us that the relatives could do it if they want to, and only like the Tosfos Rid says to say that the buyer can't prevent them from taking it. So he might say that the b'chol is including Bate Orechoim. So according to that opinion, then you can understand why Taka needs to say b'chol. El amando amal rabbis bote chatzedim. But if you're telling me that it's only to include bote chatzedim, my b'chol, why does it even need to say the word b'chol? All it needs to say is geula titnu la'aretz. And then we would understand from that 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 it means according to Rebbe Eliezer, then it would mean that you're required, that the relatives are required to buy it back, and that would automatically include Batei Chatzeir. So the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right, it's a Kasha on that opinion. Now a Kasha is not a Tzuvta, it doesn't mean we've schlugged it up, it just means we have a question that still needs to be answered. Now Tosfos points out, why don't we say, according to that opinion, Bechol comes to include an Eved Ivri. And the answer is, we're going to assume that the Pasuk, since it's talking about land, is going to teach us something about redeeming land or some kind of real estate, whereas an Eved Ivri is not real estate. With that said, the Reb David Pardo, who we quoted earlier, says, now, maybe that's why the Gemara leaves it only as a kasha, because you could use that as an answer. It's true. It's not the best possible answer, but it is an answer. You could say, according to that opinion, Bechol is not coming to include houses, but rather it's coming to include an Eved Ivri. Okay. So therefore, the point is, we don't have a proof yet whether, when it comes to Batei Orichoyma, whether the relatives can or can't buy it back. Rav Sheshes was saying that not. We tried to bring this Braisa, but we're saying not necessarily does this Braisa bear on it. Because maybe the Braisa is talking about Batei Achatzerim, and Rabbi Eliezer would say, it makes it a Choyva, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, fine, we could deal with what Rabbi Yeshua holds exactly. But anyway, Eisve Abaya. So then Abaya says to Rav Sheshes, I have another contradiction against him. A Braisa says, Ma tamud lemi yigolenu, 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 gimel pamim. Three times, when it comes to an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Goy, three times the Torah uses the word yigolenu. He shall redeem him. The Pasuk is Echad me'echav yigolenu. One of his relatives shall redeem him. Then in the next Pasuk continues, Oy doidoy, oy ben doidoy yigolenu. Either his uncle or his cousin shall redeem him. And by the way, Bala Turim on that pasuk points out that the word doidoy is also the same letters as David. So it's hinting that David or Ben David, Yigalenu, will redeem us from Galus. Anyway, then the pasuk continues, Oy Mish'er B'Sorei Mimishpachta Yigalenu. The third one, that's the second one. The third one is, Oy Mish'er B'Sorei Mimishpachta Yigalenu, or any relative of his from his family will redeem him.
Where did you see that?
The psukim. You have some Gemaras have them on the side. Anyway, so you have three times it says Yigolenu. So matam alemi Yigolenu, 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 gimel pamim. Why does it repeat that three times? L'rabis kol ha-ge'ulis shenig olis k'seder hazeh. The Braisa tells us that comes to include all ge'ulis. Whenever there's something that needs to be redeemed, means you have the same seder. That they can be, so on the face of it, this Seder means they can be redeemed by relatives. Now, what are the three cases? Maila, Batei Orichoyma, Ve'Eved Ivri. So on the face of it, that comes to include also the Batei Orichoyma and also the Eved Ivri who was sold to a Yid. So even though the Pasuk doesn't specify that relatives can redeem them, nevertheless, from these extra Yigolenus, we would learn that yes. And the answer is lying. Again, not necessarily, says Rav Sheshes, Batei Chatzerim u'Sdei Achuza. Maybe the Pasuk is only including houses in unwalled city and a Sdei Achuza, a field that you inherited from your ancestors. Well, again, the question is, Batei Chatzerim u'Sdei Achuza, Behed Yaksiv Bahu, Behed Yaksiv u'Sdei Aretz Yechashiv. The Pasuk clearly says they're considered part of the fields, and since the fields already, the Torah tells us clearly that your relatives can buy it back for you. So obviously, it would be the same with Batei Chatzerim. You don't need a Pasuk to tell us that. And the answer is, Kid Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, Lakarev, Karev Chodim, just like in a different context that we're going to discuss soon, that Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, the Pasuk is telling you the closer relative comes first. Hochanami, the same thing over here. Maybe the Yigalenu, when it says Kaseder Azeh, doesn't mean the basic fact that relatives can do it. It means the closer relative has the first right to do it. For example, just like by the Eved Ivri sold to a Goy, where the Pasuk says, Oy doidoy, Oy ben doidoy Yigalenu. Either his uncle or his cousin, because the uncle is a closer relative than the cousin, because you only have one degree of separation between them. Your uncle is your father's brother, as opposed to your cousin is your father's brother's son. So it's you have to do that extra step.
It's a priority.
So they're right. So in other words, the priority goes to the closer ones. So hochinami la korev koidim, the same thing over here. Maybe kaseder azeh just means the closer relative comes ahead of the further away relative. So therefore, so the Yigolenus, so Tosfos summarizes the Yigolenus, one of them tells us the basic fact that you can be goyel. A second one is karev kodim. And the third one, as the Gemara is going to go on to discuss now, is to say that this applies only when he's sold to a goy, not when he's sold to a yid. The Rashba, by the way, learns from this when we say a karev kodim, doesn't just mean that the earlier relative has priority. It actually means that Rashba learns what happens, for example, if the uncle is poor and the cousin is rich. What you would think, look, the cousin has money, therefore he should come first. Note, the Pasuk is saying as long as there is an uncle, he has precedence. If he can do the job and redeem his relative, then good. And if not, then there's no obligation to do it.
It goes to the cousin.
It doesn't go to the cousin. That's what the Rashba learns. A karev kodim means essentially as long as there is a closer relative exists, then he has the priority. Even if he can't actually afford it.
If he's even going to do it, then why not offer it to the cousin afterwards?
If your cousin wants to do it, because I'm to hate, but the cousin isn't required to.
Without chuban.
Right.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Heicha itmar d'Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Okay, so then fine. We can say that maybe that's what the Braisa means when it says kaseh d'razeh. Doesn't mean the fact that a korev can redeem the bote or echoyma. Maybe it only means that within the cases where we know that a relative can do it, for example, Sdei Achuza or Eved Ivri sold to a goy, then the closer relative comes first. So Heicha itmar d'Rav Nachman Yitzchak. What is the context in which the statement of Rav Nachman Yitzchak was said in the first place? So like this, aha, it was on the following. We have the question, Eved Ivri Animka Yisrael. What if an Eved Ivri is sold to a Jew? Can he be bought back by his relatives or not? Again, obviously, if the master wants to, he can do whatever he wants. But we're talking about if the master doesn't want. He says, I like this Eved, I want to keep him on. I paid good money for him. Don't tell me that you guys are going to come and offer money for me, for him. I don't care about the money, I want to keep him. So
we just discuss it now with Achuza.
So Sdei Achuza, he doesn't have the right to do that with an Eved Ivri. Maybe he does. That's the question. Now the Gemara says, Alibad Rebbe Loiti Boiloch. Now, if you're going within Rebbe's opinion, then there's no question. Because earlier, a few blocks earlier, when we first started talking about Eved Ivri, there was an expression Rebbe had said in a Braisa that the Pasuk says about an Eved Ivri sold to a goy. The expression is im lo yigoyel be'ela. If he's not redeemed with these, meaning his relatives, then he goes out and yoyel. So Rebbe had learned from that Pasuk, misha in a nigal be'ela, nigal b'sheish. Somebody who cannot be redeemed by these, by relatives, is redeemed in 6 years. So Rebbe had actually used that as the basis for a Kal Vachomer to say that if he's sold to a goy, also the maximum length of term should be 6 years. And when the Pasuk mentions Yovel, it means only if Yovel comes out in the years between. So Rebbe had said, you make that Kal Vachomer because he had said, and the basis for his Kal Vachomer had been the fact that a yid who's sold to another yid cannot be redeemed by Kruvim. So according to him, there's no question. Obviously, then can't, because he's using that as the basis for his Kal Vachomer.
Yovel's only near itself.
What?
Yovel for a bit.
No. So what Rebbe...
Is only near itself.
One second. So what Rebbe had said over there is like this. When it comes to an Eved Ivri sold to a Yid, usually he's sold for 6 years and he goes free in the sixth year, at the end of the sixth year, unless he says a Havti, etc. Now, Rebbe uses that as a bait. Now he says, on the other hand, we know this one who's sold to a Yid cannot be bought back by his relatives. So then he says, a Kal Vachomer, that when he's sold to a Goy, where we have even a leniency on him, where he could be bought back by his relatives, how much more so that when he's sold to begin with, it should be for a maximum of 6 years. So therefore, obviously, according to Rebbe, look, so Alma, loy Mifrak, so you see clearly, according to Rebbe, he can't be bought back by his relatives.
Mifrak
means to be redeemed. Like purkan, yukum purkan means a redemption or a salvation. So yeah. So kitiboy lach a little bit rabban. So the question would be, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe, they don't learn that Kal Vachomer, and they say when a yid is sold to a goy, then he works for him always until yoy. So according to them, the question is, my yalfinan socher, do we learn the gzeda shava on the word socher, that we learn between one sold to a goy and one sold to a yid, and therefore that would be, therefore we would learn that either one of them could be bought back by the relatives. Veloy darshi yugolenu, so they don't learn the miut from the word yugolenu, that the word yugolenu, we should redeem him, is a miut, which implies only him, but not another case. So we would say then it would apply only when he's sold to a goy and not to a yid. So if we say they hold of Gzeira Shava and they don't hold of that miut and the word Yigalenu, then it would mean the same din would apply whether we sold to a Yid or a Goy. Maybe the Yigalenu is a miut, and it comes to exclude the case where he sold to a Yid. So we would still say the Gzeira Shava, Sacher, Sacher, but we would use it for other purposes as the Gemara has been using it throughout the last few dafim, rather than to teach us, rather this particular din, we would say is an exception. And if he sold to a Yid, we wouldn't allow the relatives to come and buy him back. So that's the question. So in fact, the Pnei Yeshua discusses. He says earlier when the Gemara first brought up this Gzeira Shava of Sacher Sacher several blocks ago on Daf Tesvav. So the Gemara asked, in Rebbe's opinion, is it that he holds of that Gzeira Shava or not, or is it because he's learning Yigalenu? So now the Gemara is bringing both possibilities in effect. Do we learn the Gzeira Shava and we don't learn Yigalenu, or do we not learn the Gzeira Shava and we do learn Yigalenu? So that's the question. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to prove. Abraisa says, the Braisa we brought before says, We said in all of the land geula titnu la'aretz, and the word b'chol means the rabbis batim the eved ivri. It comes to include houses, and it comes to include an eved ivri. And what are we? So my love bati arichaim of the eved ivri and nimka the Israel. Doesn't that mean that we're adding bati arichaim, which we argued before that it should mean that it applies to that? And it should apply also to an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew. And therefore, the Pasuk is telling us that Geula Titnu, that there you also have the din that the relatives can buy back. And the answer is, like, not necessarily. Eved Ivri Anim Kalo Eved Kechavim. You could say, with the houses, we said before, it could mean Bate Achatzerim. When it comes to the Eved Ivri, it could mean an Eved Ivri sold to a Goy. Well, the question is, again, Eved Ivri Anim Kalo Eved Kechavim, Behed Yiksive, the Pasuk clearly says, Oy Dodo Ye Ben Dodo Yigalanu. His uncle or his cousin or whatever other relative can redeem him. And the answer is Hahu Lakova Chova. That Pasuk is coming to tell the Bechol is coming to make an obligation on the relatives to redeem him. And that would be even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Even Rabbi Yeshua, we said by Sdei Achuza, it's up to the relatives whether they want to or not. Here you have a different consideration. Shalor Yitoma, you don't want this Yid, you don't want this Eved Ivri to assimilate among the Goyim if he stays there too long. So therefore, here even Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree that it's a chayva, that it's an absolute obligation on the relatives to redeem him. Right. But not necessarily is it coming to include where he's sold to a Yid, where you don't have that problem of Shema Yitama that he might assimilate. So maybe therefore we would say that the Bechol is not coming to include that.
How could they even think of having a Yid sold to a Goy?
Well, the Yid can sell himself. The Yid can sell himself to the Goy. We learned about that yesterday. That he might feel himself in such desperate straits that he has no choice but to sell.
So he eat not kosher food and all this stuff.
He'll have to make sure. He'll have to arrange with the master, of course, that he'll eat kosher food. Rashi, in fact, mentions at the end of Parshas Behar over there that the Yid shouldn't say, look, since my master worships Avodah Zarah and breaks Shabbos and whatnot, therefore I can do the same. And that's why at the end of that parasha, at the end of Parshas Behar, the Torah stresses don't worship idols and keep Shabbos and so forth. The fact is, we learned yesterday, the Gemara had said that you would think once he went down and sold himself so far, maybe we should say the heck with him. We give up on him. Nope, we have to work to schlep him out of there as soon as possible. So again, the point is the word bechol, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that by the houses or by the fields in unwalled cities, it's only Rishus, he would agree that it's choiva, and the bechol would come to teach us that. So not necessarily do we have a basis for saying that it should apply when an Eved Ivri is sold to a Yid. In fact, Tosfos asks on that based on the previous Gemara that then we have in effect the two Bechols are not really the Bechol is really teaching us two different things. First, we have by Bati Orichoyma, we're not saying that it makes it a choiva, that it makes it an obligation. By the Eben Ivri, it's making it a choiva. So we should have said that by Botei Achatzerim and by Eben Ivri sold to a goy, it's a choiva, and then it would be at least Rabbi Yeshua would have that it's adding the same kind of choiva in both places. So Tosfos asks the question and leaves it open. A couple of Achronim talk about possible answers to it. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof again for this question of whether an Eved Ivri is sold to another Yid, whether there's an obligation on the relative, whether the relatives can redeem him. So Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, like we said before, you go lenu, shalish pamim, the same Braisa we brought before. Why does it say you go lenu three times? L'rabis kol ha-ge'ulis chenig olis kaseder hazeh, it comes to include all ge'ulis that they go according to this order. My lab, bote orichem of Eved Ivri an nimka l'Yisrael. Shouldn't we assume that when we say kol ha-ge'ulis includes houses in walled cities and includes an Eved Ivri sold to a Yid? And the answer is loy, not necessarily. Like we answered before, maybe it's only coming to include houses in unwalled cities and fields that you inherited from your ancestors. Yeah, we said that already. It comes to include all ge'ulis, anything that needs to be redeemed, we go according to this order. This order, Mepashtos, means means relatives. So then, my lab or bote orichem of Eberdi v'anukal Israel. Shouldn't we assume that it includes those cases? And the answer is loy. Bote chatzerim usdeachos are not necessarily. It may come to include houses in unwalled cities and sdeachos. Again, the question is bote chatzerim behed yaksibahu al sdeha oritzi choshev. The pasuk clearly says they belong together with the fields, and therefore they have the same rules as fields. And again, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, a korev koidim. Here is the original context where Nachman Yitzchak had said that the pasuk is telling you the closer relative has the greater obligation to do it. So now again, you have three yigolanus: one to tell us that there can be a redemption b'chlal, one about bote chatzedim, it's the achuza, and one lazev loylaachos. So the third one would tell us it applies only where he sold to a goy, not where he sold to a yid. So that would be the final answer. That when he sold to a yid, you don't have the concept of the relatives redeeming him. Obviously, if the master wants to accept the money, goes on to hate, but he's not obligated to unless the eved himself comes with the money. Okay. Now, continuing with the next thing in the Mishnah, we said b'hanirtza nikne b'ritzia. We said that an eved whose ear was pierced, where he said after the 6th year, he said at the end of the 6 years, I have pierced Adoni, etc. Then he gets acquired for the rest of the time until Yovel by piercing his ear. And the Gemara says, "Dichtiv," because the pasuk says, "V'rotza Adoni v'osne b'amatzei avagomer." His master should pierce his ear with an awl, and va'avode la'olam, and then he works for him, and la'olam meaning until Yovel. So we see from that it's the ritzia itself that makes him his eved for the rest of the time. And the Mishnah continued, v'koinas atzma b'yovel of Mrs. Adin, the eved ivri whose ear was pierced acquires himself, meaning becomes free, with yovel, not with 6 years anymore, only with yovel, or when the Adin dies. Now before we learned that with an eved ivri who's working for 6 years, he doesn't always go free when the Adin dies, because if the Adin left a son, then he continues working for him. But by an eved ivri by a nirtza, it's not like that. So dichtiv va'avodoy, the pasuk says, he shall serve him. So the va'avodoy, the vav is a mute, v'loyas haben, v'loyas habas, meaning he doesn't work for the son or the daughter of the master. And la'olam means la'olam shel yovel, means not forever. It just means until the next yovel. One point we learned about this the other day, when Mephoshim point out, I think the Evan Ezra points out that the longest period of time that has any significance in halacha is a yovel. There's a yovel. Therefore, that's why la'olam can mean a yovel rather than meaning literally forever.
50 years.
50 years. Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about the dinim of ritzia. You have the Torah tells us that he pierces his ear with marzeya. So let's get into the details of that. Tana Rabban, Marzeya. Now, when the pasuk says an awl, now an awl is a tool that you use for making holes in leather. You're making, for example, leather shoes, so you use an awl to pierce the leather so you can sew them. So, ainli ela marzeya. If you only had that, you would know specifically you have to use an awl. Minayin l'rabis hasoil. How do we know that you can also include? And you can also use a soil, which is a sharpened piece of wood, vasira, or a thorn, a sharp thorn, v'hamachat, or needle, v'hamakdeach, or drill, v'hamachtev, or stylus, like you use a metal stylus that you use for writing, for example, on a wax tablet. You use a stylus to scratch out the letters. So how do we know you can use any of those? They all have a sharp point. Tamad leimu v'lakachta. Therefore, the pasuk says in a different place in Parashas Re'eh, when it mentions this din again, it says you should take. The rabbis called davish and nikach biyad, that comes to include anything that you can take in your hand. That would be kosher. Dibir Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says no. Ma martseya miyuchad shel matches. What is special about a martseya? It's made out of metal. Af kol shel matches. Therefore, you have to use something of metal. So I agree. Rabbi says you could use a needle, which is made out of metal, or a drill, etc. But you can't use a sharpened piece of wood or a thorn because they're not metal. And we're going to explain soon why it is that they disagree. Dover Acha, another explanation, Hamartseya, Lahobi Hamartseya Hagodo. When it says Hamartseya, then it comes to include that you can use a very large oar, the kind that makes very large holes. A couple of Mephoshim discuss details why we need to say that. I mean, where once it says you can use an oar, who cares what size? One point is, we're going to discuss soon the question whether the Ritzia makes the Kohen, whether it makes him a Baal Mum, and that's going to be relevant if he's a Kohen. Can you do it? Now, one thing is, the Gemara in Bechorus mentions that you need a certain minimum size hole for it to be a mum, the size of kashina, the size of a type of bean. So therefore, the chiddush is over here, even though this kind of drill makes a very large hole, not drill, oar, this kind of oar makes a very large hole like that, the size of this type of bean, nevertheless, you could use it. Anyway, so with that said, there are other gusos that take out that, whatever, anyway. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Yudan Biribi Hayadurish. Yudan Biribi. Biribi means the great one of the generation. Hayadurish, he used to darshan like this. Kishahein roitzim, when you do the ritzia, what part of the ear is it done in? Ein roitzim ela b'milsa. You do it only in the soft part of the ear, the earlobe. B'cham oimim, where is the cham say? No. Ein ever, we know that ein ever ivri koyan nirtzim neshanasa balmum, and ever ivri was a koyan cannot have his ear pierced because thereby he would become a balmum, and we're going to see soon what's the problem if he becomes a balmum. The im toima b'milsa, so Rabbi Elazar points out that if the chachamim agreed with Yudan Biribi that you did it in the earlobe heim roitzim that they do the ritzia over there heich ebed ibri koyin also balmum, how would he become a balmum? It's not considered a mum if there's a hole in the earlobe, no matter how large that hole is. So therefore ha a nirtza ela begoyva shal oizen, therefore, obviously, according to the Chachamim, it must mean that the Ritzia takes place in the top part of the ear, in the cartilage. So therefore, that would make him a Baal Mum, and therefore they're arguing with Koyin, you can't do that. Now, on the face of it, therefore, on the face of it, Yudan Biribi is saying there's no problem to do Ritzia for a Koyin, for an Eved Ibri who is a Koyin. On the other hand, the Shita Lainoid Lami points out that maybe not. Maybe both of them would agree that you can't do it to a Kohen, but for different reasons. The Chachamim would say because it would make him a Baal Mum, and as the Gemara is going to explain soon, that would be a problem. And according to Yudan Biribi, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, maybe he's not allowed to begin with to have a Shifcha Pnanis, and therefore there's no possibility of him saying, I have Dias Adoni, as Ishti, etc. Maybe Yudan Biribi holds that way, and therefore he would say, a Kohen doesn't get Ritzia, not because it would make him a Baal Mum, because he holds you're doing it in the earlobe anyway, but because there's no case where he's going to end up being in a position of Ritzia, because how could he say, how could he say, if he doesn't have a Shifcha Knanis and children from her, because he's also in the first place. And the Rebbe's father, actually, I believe Yitzchak, has a long Kabbalistic explanation of further down, a piece a little further down in the Gemara in connection with this, and he mentions this point as well, that we could say that Shmuel, who we're going to say soon, says that a Kohen is not allowed to have the Shifcha Knanis. Maybe he agrees with Yudan Biribi, and he says therefore the Kohen is never going to be in a position of getting his ear pierced.
Right, that's us.
Because he's right. Okay, so the Gemara says, "But my
committee."
What? No. So we said b'may kumithi. What is the underlying machloikas between? What is the underlying machloikas about between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rebbe about what we can use? Whether according to Rebbe you can only use something metal, or according to Yudan Beribi, or according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, you can use anything sharp. So the Rebbe darish kol yoprati. Rebbe darishin the pesukim as a klal of prat. When it says you should take as a klal, because you can pick up anything, Marzeya prat, when it says Marzeya as a prat, that it means specifically only an oar. When it continues, but Ozni of Adelis, when it says you put it in his ear and in the door, Chaz of a klal, that's another klal, because again, it means anything that you could stick through his ear and into the door. So ma klal prat, klal iat don elakena prat. Ma prat mefurish, just like the prat is specified shal matchis, that it's made out of metal. Af kol shal matchis, the same way anything else you're going to use has to be made out of metal. Rabbi Yosi, ribuyi umiyoti. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn the same words with a ribuyi umiyot. The difference is a cloud of prat to cloud means basically we take the prat and we make a class of things that are similar to the prat. So they have to be similar to it in order for them to be included. As opposed to ribuy umiyot basically means we're going to end up including everything. All we're going to do is we're going to remove one thing that is the least similar to the one mentioned in the pasuk. We have a number of places in Shas where you have similar machlokas in between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, v'lakachta riba, you have a ribuy from the word v'lakachta, marzeya miyot, the word marzeya is a miyot because it would mean only one thing, v'ozni v'delas chozer riba, riba umiyot v'riba, riba hakol. So it includes everything. My Rabbi, Rabbi Komili. So what are we including? Ultimately, we're including everything that you can use for piercing, including wood. My Miet, what is the one thing that we have to exclude? Miet Sam, we're excluding a potion. If you have, for example, like an acid or some other strong kind of thing like that, that would make a hole, then Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda would agree you can't use that. You can't pour some kind of acid or cream or whatever that would be strong enough to pierce a hole through the ear. But anything else that actually makes a hole, he would say is fine. Okay, we said Omer Mar Hamartzeya Lahavi Martzeya Hagodor. We said the word Hamartzeya comes to include a big Martzeya. So my Mashma, where exactly do we see that the word Hamartzeya includes a big one? So the answer is Kid Omer Rava, just like we find Rava saying in connection with Gid Anoshe, you have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there says that it applies only to the right leg because Rabbi Yehuda says Ha Yorich when it says the Gid Anoshe, which is Asher Akap Ha Yorich Ham Yumenes Shabi Yorich. Means the stronger, the more important one among the thighs. Hachanami hamartzeya miyuchad shemamartzein. The same way hamartzeya would mean the special one among the martzein, the big one. So continuing on this topic of the koyin. So we said Amar Rabbi Elazar Yudan Beribi Hayadurish Chain Roitzin and Roitzin Adam Milsa. We said Yudan Beribi said you do the Ritzia only in the earlobe. B'chamim ain't every koyin nirtzim nation as a balmum. So the question is, he also balmum. So what? He becomes a balmum. Who cares? Amar Rabbi Barav Shila Amar Kron. No, because the pasuk says v'shav al mishpachtei. He shall return to his family. That means the muchzak shem mishpachtei. He has to be able to return to the chazaka of his family. So if a Kohen becomes a Baal Mum, he doesn't, because now he can't return to his family's chazakah anymore, because he can't serve in the Beis Mikdash. In fact, Tosfos in Bechoras points out, based on a Gemara over there, that in principle, you could make a small hole, and that wouldn't make him a Baal Mum. But one point is, Tosfos says over there, first of all, when one point is, it'll make him at least a temporary Baal Mum, and you can't even make a temporary Baal Mum. You have to make it that immediately, as soon as this is done, in principle, you should be able to work in the Beis Mikdash again. Okay. So now, Iboyalahu, so now we have a related question. Eved Ivri Koyen, Maoshi Yimso Leraba Shifcha Knanis. If the Eved Ivri is a Koyen, can his master give him a Shifcha Knanis to have children with her? Do we say Chidushu? After all, the whole din is a Chidush, because usually a Yid would be also to have relations with a Shifcha Knanis. So Loishna Koyenim, Loishna Yisrael, wouldn't matter whether he's a Koyen or Yisrael. Oiduma, Shiny Koyenim, Hohu Riba Behena Kosim, Mitzvah Yisrael. Maybe a Koyen is different because the Torah added extra mitzvahs to them that they're also in a Grusha and so on, Chalola and so forth. So maybe. So the answer is Rab Amma Mutter, Shmuel Amma Osir. So Rab says it's allowed, Shmuel says it's not. Omalei Rav Nachman and Rav Onan. So now, in a later generation, Rav Nachman, not in a later generation, Talmidim, whatever, Rav Nachman says to Rav Onan, Ki haveistu bei Mar Shmuel, when you were in the yeshiva of Mar Shmuel, and you heard this din from him, be iskumderi italitu. You must have been playing with iskumderi. Rashi says iskumderi means, in other words, you weren't paying attention. You were just like, as if like you were playing games. Rashi brings that iskunderi is like chips of wood, so like checkers or something. The Oruch brings a couple of other explanations. One of them is that iskunderi means small dogs. Another one he says is like a game that kids play involving pieces involving broken pieces of earthenware where they count up to 30 with them. Whatever. The point is, Rav Nachman is saying to Rav Onan, you didn't pay attention. If you had paid attention, my time, why didn't you answer? Why didn't you ask Shmuel? How could you say he's also in a Shifcha Knanis? We said, and every Kohen can't get his ear pierced because he'll become a Baal Mum. What do you mean? Anyway, if you, Shmuel, are saying anyway he can't have a Shifcha Knanis, typically, then you have a good reason why he can't be Nirtza, because he's never in the position. Because he has to be able to say, I love my master, my wife, meaning my Shifcha Knanis, and her children. The Lekka, and here, according to that opinion, according to your opinion, he would never have a Shifcha Knanis in the first place. So the Gemara says, Tule Midi, you're right, there's no possible answer to that. So therefore, according to Shmuel, it's very clear that an Koyin is also in a Shifcha Knanis, of necessity, he's never getting his ear pierced. And in fact, again, the Shita Loinoy de Lami points out that it may be that Shmuel agrees with the position before, that a Koyin wouldn't get Ritzia for a different reason, because it would make him a Baal Mum. Not because it would make him a Baal Mum, rather, but because he would hold that, yes, it wouldn't make him a Baal Mum, but he's taken not in a position to do it in the first place. Just to finish off, the Rebbe's father has a very long, fascinating explanation, Alpi Kabbalah, of this Gemara over here. And he says, why of all things, many, many questions, but among others, why is he using this expression to Rav Nachman, you were playing with checkers or small dogs or whatever? What does that have to do with anything? And he has a long explanation that the Eved Ivri represents Malach down, at higher level represents Malach Matat, and the concept of him being Mutter in a Shifcha Knanis refers to the relationship of Matat to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is called the Shifcha, the word Knanis, even as Gematria is 600, representing the 600 Sdorim and Mishnayas that we find that they used to have. So it has to do with that. And so Rav Nachman is telling Rav Onan that you were busy with moichin de katnus. You were busy with the juvenile kind of moichin, which therefore, he explains in great detail how, whether you're talking about checkers, whether you're talking about small dogs, whether you're talking about this kid's game involving broken pieces of earthenware, all of them he explains in great detail how they have to do with moichin de katnus, and why were you doing that instead of graduating to Merchant de Gadlos and pointing out to Shmuel that the Koyin, being from Chesed, has no business with the Shifcha Knanis, which is an aspect of Gvura. And he explains how Rav Nachman himself represents Gvura and Rav Onan represents Chesed, and therefore Rav Onan should have been the one to point this out, and so on and so forth. He has a tremendous arichus, very, very fascinating. Shkoyach, everyone.